presented by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Hello, Cougar Nation. Great to be back with you from inside Studio B at the BYU Broadcasting Building in Provo, Utah, for our Week 2 edition of Coordinator's Corner, our weekly BYU football conversation with the Cougars' coordinating coaches. Coming up on today's broadcast, we'll look back at a season-opening 41-13 home win over Southern Illinois, BYU's fifth consecutive season-opening victory, improving the Cougars' all-time record against FCS opponents to 19-0. Our guests today are special teams coordinator Kelly Popinga and offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick. And we kick off today's show with BYU's special teams coach and defensive ends coach, Kelly Popinga. Good to see you once again.
Great to be back, like always.
All right. One of the coaches we visit with on this show is defensive coordinator Jay Hill, and he'll be back here next week. Saturday night, he was back at Lavelle Edwards Stadium following a very eventful Thursday and Friday for him and all of you. What an emotional game week for BYU football.
Yeah, it's crazy. We show up Friday, and to our knowledge, everything was okay, and then we have a staff meeting, and Kalani tells us that Jay had some health issues, and that he was not going to coach in the game. And we didn't know really any details other than that, just that he was not going to coach and he had some things he was dealing with. And then later on in the day, Jay told us what was happening, what he's going through. And so, as a defensive staff and as a whole staff and a program, we rallied together and were able to, come together and just do what we needed to do to get our guys ready for the game and then be able to call the game. And so Kalani and then Justin Enna really took the reins of that on defense of just getting ready to call the game. And it turned out great. I thought everybody, we communicated well. Jay was still there, communicated a little bit with us on the headset,
amazing,
which is pretty crazy. But it was good to just have him in the box and have him at the game. And I think the players were excited, as you guys could see there prior to the game. And then after the game as well, he was down on the field. And so, yeah, just we're just happy he's healthy and well. And I'm sure his wife is as well. But it was kind of a scary deal there for a minute. But it all turned out good for everybody.
I like how the hugs are just a little bit gentler there. How do you think everyone kind of handled the reset, though? Because that was kind of we got to fix a few things, get a few things changed up for a game like 24 hours later.
Yeah, I think everybody handled it well. I think the guys were so prepared for the game anyway. When you have – when it being your first game, you're studying this opponent all off season, and then you have really some extra practices that you don't typically have preparing for other games throughout the year. And so I just think our guys felt extremely prepared. Really, Greg, you probably could have come and called the game and we would have been just fine,
no,
right?
I don't think so.
I think that's how well the players were prepared. It was just good to see that, all of us were ready to go. And we executed well. I thought defensively we stuck to the game plan and we executed well. We had, minimal missed tackles, minimal errors, which helped us keep some points off the board.
Yeah, I'll stick to my headset and you stick to yours. But I'll tell you, one of my secret wishes is to one day hear what happens on a college football coaching headset in the course of a game. It'd be fascinating.
Yeah, there's some stuff that's really fun and some stuff that's not so fun. So, hopefully we'd stay a little more even keel. But I would say on Saturday with just, hearing Coach Hill and being in the press box, you're out of the emotion of the game. Mm-hmm. And so you could tell he was way calmer. Not that he's crazy if he's on the sideline, but you could just tell he was way more calm and probably had to do with maybe some of the medication he was on. But it just, I think you get out of the emotion of the game, you can see things better, you can call things better, you can communicate things better, where on the field, it's a little more chaotic. So I think for him, I think he realized, man, I'm going to try to do this the rest of the season because help him, just be able to be more calm, lower the stress levels, and I think help him just, visualize things a lot better.
As far as you know, things more or less back to normal for him and the staff this week in terms of roles and responsibilities?
Yeah, he was in this morning, and our game planning was as usual, and so we'll see. I don't think he'll be staying as late as some of us, but he still needs to get rest. But, yeah, we're game planning and, on our way off to – SMU, getting that whole thing done. So,
well, truly a best-case scenario. All right, let's get into the game a bit. From Saturday, BYU, when they win a coin toss, Kalani always defers, and you won the coin toss. So the defense got the first chance to set a tone on Saturday night.
Yeah, it was great to come out and really get a three and out to start the game. And And, you know, I thought our guys started off fast. That was the really emphasis. There's two emphases we had this season defensively. Number one, we got to be able to start fast, whatever we're doing, because we know that Kalani likes to defer and defense likes to come out. And then number two, we had to get off the field on third down. And, you know, we were not great a year ago on third down to be able to, you know, be close to, I think, 33% in this game on third down, which is really good. And, you know, being able to get some pressure on the quarterback, we hit him a lot. I think we ended up with two sacks, close to three. There was one that was right on the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. That could have been a third. But it was, you know, good to get after him early. And then, you know, there's some QB run game stuff that got us a little bit there, and one for a touchdown that we'll fix. But for the most part, I thought we played really clean.
Yeah, one of four defensive three and outs BYU would have on the night came in that opening sequence. Those first few plays, kind of a feeling out process, but they did gain only 3 yards in three plays. So you opened the game the way you wanted to, absolutely.
Yeah, and, you know, we thought as well that they were going to start with a fade ball and to test one of our corners. They tried to
on first down.
On first down, tried to test Mark and threw it deep and overthrew him. And, you know, I thought Mark was in a really good position there on that first play.
This is that first play, right?
There it is. Yep. And then, you know, I thought our free safety got over there as well, Tanner, who I thought played well on defense and on special teams. But and then, you know, they come out on second down. We do a good job on stopping the run. And then third down, feels some pressure, wants to step up in the pocket. And then Jack does a great job coming back on a blitz that we had designed there for these guys. And so, yeah, it was fun to see the guys execute so quickly, so fast. And then it just stayed pretty consistent throughout the whole entire game.
Their new starting quarterback, DJ Williams, Murray State transfer, ended up being their best weapon on the night. Six rushes of 10 yards or longer in this game. What were you expecting from him coming into the game?
Yeah, I think, you know, we had watched film from him from the year before, and we saw that he was a good runner, that he could scramble, and that there were going to be some QB design run stuff. And so we knew that that was going to be something that they wanted to do. I think what we could have done a better job of is just fitting up the run better, as far as they had some pulling scheme, some gap scheme things that we didn't fit up real well, especially on the touchdown. One of our guys didn't spill one of the pullers to make the ball bounce, and he was able to crease us. And so between that and QB draw and scramble, we just got to be better open field tacklers. Like, we see Micah right there. That's a really good open field tackle by him. But we just got to be able to beat blocks up front faster. And we got to make these guys pay. Like, at the end of the day, quarterbacks are going to keep running if we're not tackling them. And we got to be able to tackle these guys low and make them question if this is something they want to continue to do. And we got to do a better job at that.
You also credit the player, though. He's an exciting athlete.
Yeah, good athlete. He does a great job. He's going to be a really good player for them. And I think in their conference, they're going to do some damage in the FCS for sure.
SIU's second drive stalled after getting behind the sticks. And they got off schedule thanks to that athletic sack from Isaiah Banya, one of your guys, created a second and 21 on that second series.
Yeah, that was a great move by Isaiah. He, you know, initially kind of tried a little power move and then got to the edge of them and then really out-efforted them right there, and really good job tripping them up. And yeah, that was a big loss right there. I think a loss of 11 or 12.
It was.
And, you know, second and long, that's, you know, really, really hard down for offenses to be in. That's what we want to be in. But yeah, really good move by Isaiah. I thought he played one of his better games for BYU and played physical in the run game and really had one play, the touchdown play. That was the one play where I told him, man, you would have almost played a perfect game if we just get underneath that block and spill it and make the ball bounce. But I thought he played well. He had a couple other plays. I thought in general the DNs played well. And the front, I thought the front between Blake and Batty and John Nelson, I thought all those guys played really physical up front. We really, I thought, owned the line of scrimmage the whole entire game.
Yeah, really impactful game that way. The offense, meantime, well, they get you out to a 14-0 lead on two drives, on two scores. That kind of lead can positively impact how a defense goes about its business and calls its game, too.
Oh, yeah, completely, yeah. When you're on defense and you have a lead, things change completely because the offense now has to decide if they want to play catch-up or stick to their plan. And so, you know, obviously a defensive coach always wants to play defense from with a lead like that. And so, and I felt like they were going to be on fire the whole entire game. We could feel that confidence coming from our offense when they're coming off the sideline. And I just think in general, our whole team was very confident going into this game. And I don't know, you know, it being Southern Illinois and an FCS team, but I just thought the preparation that these guys put in from, going all the way back to spring ball to now, I thought it's one of the better teams I've been around, just the way that they prepared.
good momentum carried into the second quarter in this one. The first hiccup came in unexpected fashion because Will Farron had been perfect in his BYU career inside 44 yards. He gets a try from 36. What did you see live and in review on this particular kick?
Yeah, you know, Will came right off the field and he said, "Coach, I'm good. I towed the ball," you know, meaning he hit it more with his toe than he did with actually his foot. And he said, "I'm good. I'm fine. I know exactly what happened." So great snap, great hold. He just got a little bit more toe on it than he usually does, and the protection was great as well. But then what I loved is the very next kick, we come back, you know, right at the end of the half. Our offense does a great two-minute drive, gives him a chance to kick a 50-yarder, and he drills that thing. And so that's a sign of a great kicker right there. And so he knew exactly what he needed to fix. And then when he had the opportunity to do it again, he put the ball through the uprights to give us that, you know, 17 points going into the half.
Before that 50-yarder happened, we had what would be the most controversial play of the game. It came with SIU on offense. It was called a 43-yard completion, but shouldn't have been called a catch. You could see that the ball hit the ground on the big screen. It's ruled a completed catch, but there was no review on this. Now, to their credit, they snapped the ball quickly enough that kind of nothing could happen. But that was at the moment, that was a big play.
Yeah. No, those are always tough ones right there where, you know, the play is happening so fast. And, you know, the officials really, he's kind of blocked by the receiver's body right there. So that's a really tough call for him. But that's why we have instant replay. And so we're just wondering why didn't it get stopped? And later on in the game, you know, we have another one that doesn't go our way. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, that's kind of out of our control. And we had still an opportunity to stop them right there. And really, that was, you know, another quarterback run that we had a missed tackle on, one of the few missed tackles that we had in the game. And so, it was good to get our backs against the wall like that, because it's not always going to be perfect. And so we got to get our guys to respond better in that situation. And ultimately, at the end of the day, we don't want to keep it in the hands of the officials, right? We want to make a play there right there on the ball and then make a play later in that drive, so we're at least holding them to a field goal.
They missed the PAT, so it was 14-6, but a little bit of momentum lost, which made that Will Farron kick, I thought, so huge and so important. Comes right, and by the way, credit to Coach A-Rod and the offense for going the distance they had to do to set it up. But you get a career-long 50-yarder from Will Farron that gives you a shot in the arm at the break.
Yeah, no, it was great. Like I said before, I thought our offense did a great job. I think there was like 46 seconds left in the half right there. And they drive right down, get the ball in field position. I feel confident with Will anywhere. With the ball, you know, on the 45-yard line out, he can hit 60 yarders pretty easy. So, especially in our stadium. So I felt very confident once we got to that midfield range right there, we were going to be able to get an opportunity to get the ball through the uprights right there. And so, you know, it's been something, you practice that in spring ball, you practice that in fall camp, and we executed that two-minute drill very well.
Big kick and good for him. Coming up, we'll finish our look back at BYU and SIU as we hit some second half highlights and spotlight a few standout individuals as well. As we head to break, a reminder to join Dave McCann and former Cougars Blaine Fowler and David Nixon tomorrow night. Brand new episode of AFR after further review. They'll break down BYU-SIU. Look ahead to SMU. That's tomorrow, 7 o'clock Eastern on the BYU TV app and ESPN+. When we come back, more with Coach Kelly Papinga as the Coordinator's Corner continues. Brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Coordinator's Corner is presented by JCW's, The Burger Boys, and Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics.
Back on the Coordinator's Corner, visiting with special teams coordinator and defensive ends coach Kelly Papinga. Offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick is still to come. BYU now 1-0 on the season after a 41-13 home win over Southern Illinois on Saturday night. Sellout crowd of 63,000-plus. Just thoughts on that. FCS opponent coming in, and I could tell from the start this would be a big crowd. It was filled in all the way to the corners, sea of royal blue. Yeah. What a great atmosphere.
Yeah, it was fun to show up when I walked out for warm-ups and already saw the rock full. So I was like, holy cow, this is awesome. You know, so I'm sure those guys showed up too as well, that Southern Illinois program, and saw, man, there's more fans here an hour before the game than they'll probably have at any home game this year. And so pretty impressive. I mean, just our fan base, the way that they love football, they're passionate for it. The production David Almadovan, his crew puts on is unbelievable. That fourth quarter deal that they do is awesome. Our guys were super fired up for that. Just brings the energy, and just, you know, especially on third down, the crowd was getting really rowdy. And, you know, I did feel that it was a little quiet at kickoff. I'm like, why is this quiet at kickoff? Right? Not the actual kickoff. Like later on, after we scored touchdowns, we were kicking off. I'm like, man, this is some of the quietest I've ever heard. Like fans were just, they're saving it for Kansas State.
There we go.
Saving it for Kansas State, which is good. I'm happy. But to see that place packed, first game of the year, it was it's fun. Special place.
Largest crowd ever to see an SIU game outside the state of Illinois, by the way. All right, you're up 17-6 at halftime. Offense opens the second half the way they did the first half. Two drives, two scores. And so, again, they're doing their job, right? Now, and then the one possession SIU got between those two offensive drives, they try to fake punt.
Yeah.
And so this goes into your wheelhouse. Let's look at the fake punt attempt and how BYU stopped it.
So we knew going into the game, they, I think, had three or four fake punts that they had tried the year before. And so it was major emphasis in the meetings leading up to it. And Tanner, he's like our quarterback of the punt return team. So he said that him
Tanner
and
Tanner Wall.
Yeah, Tanner Wall right there, 28, and then Crew Wakely, 7. They said when they got up to the cadence right there, to the ball, they were giving a different cadence than what they had done on the previous punts. Mm. And so immediately they started calling, hey, watch the fake, watch the fake, watch the fake. And they sniffed it out, and Tanner made a really good open field tackle. And, so on punt return, what people don't understand is the fake is always there, what people don't understand, because you're always down a number because the returner's back. So you're always down a defender. And so you can design a fake. It's just now if you have the guts to call the fake, because they should work just based upon the amount of defensive players they have up there. And so they had us by number. They had everybody blocked up, but Tanner made a really good play right there to be able to give us great field position.
Did you feel it could be coming on that play?
No, not at all. I thought, shoot, 31-6, there's no shot. They were backed up a little bit. I think it was 4th and 12 or something. It was a long distance. And so I just thought, I'd even expect it at that time. I thought if the down and distance was a little bit shorter, but great job by Tanner.
But your players caught the cadence, they were making adjustment on the fly to it.
Yeah, that was all the players right there. And, you know, they came off and they were fired up. I mean, that's just like a turnover right there. So you don't get a turnover in the stat sheet, but that's just like getting another turnover. For any fourth down stop is like just another takeaway on the, you know, for a defensive player. That's how we played out for them.
The last score SIU would have, you're up 31-6 when it happens. It was that final, it was a really nice scamper from DJ Williams. Might have been his long run of the night for the touchdown, I think, and that was the last time they would score.
Yeah, and this is something I already talked about earlier before. I don't know if we have the video on this, but if you watch the play, Isaiah Bagna, he's got 13 right there. He's got to get underneath that block. If he gets underneath that block and makes the ball bounce right there, we're going to tackle that thing. Maybe for 10 yards is as much as he's going to get. And so it just goes back to run fits, and you can't be off, especially against a QB, a guy that runs like he does. You know, he'll find any space. And so, if Isaiah gets underneath that block right there, and then I think we had a backer that needed to scrape over. Those two things happen, but that thing's dead in the water. So we can, clean up our run fits on that play right there.
We thought BYU had forced a turnover in the closing seconds of the third quarter. Looked like a fumble.
Yeah.
And it was ruled on the field a fumble, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they overturned it to an incomplete pass.
Yeah.
It was another one that kind of had a scratch in our heads up in the booth.
It's pretty funny. One of our GAs, Hayden Livingston, said, there's no doubt this is a fumble, guys. This is like the easiest call in the history of football, because he's like exchanging his hands right there. You can see it. He has it in his left hand, tries to put it in his right hand. The thing I do love about this play, though, if you just look at all the blue jerseys that are around the ball, the way that we're pursuing to the ball, the effort we have to the ball right there, I thought our guys played extremely hard in this game. And there's 6, 7, 8, 9 guys around the ball right there, which is just shows you the type of effort our guys are playing with. And unfortunately, just ball didn't bounce our way on that play right there, but that would have been nice to set our offense up. But I think right after that happened, we held them to a punt, and I think they ended up shanking a punt, and we still had the ball on our side of the 50-yard line.
And so you didn't get the play you wanted there in terms of the takeaway, but you did get a takeaway for the game. The last drive featuring DJ Williams when he stayed in the game ended with the game's lone takeaway. Jacob Robinson gets career interception number 9 on this night.
Yeah, Jacob's he's a special player and has a knack for the ball, and one of the best corners I've seen at playing the ball. And so, does a really good job of being physical with the receiver and gets off of him just in time before the ball gets in the air, because any contact with the ball in the air, that would have been a PI. But just really good job just getting his hands on, collisioning the route, and then getting his eyes back and finding the ball, and makes a big play happen right there. So happy for Jacob. He's a really good player. That's an exceptional play.
That's how you do it right there.
And just the ball skills that he has, a lot of people don't understand how hard that is to make that play right there. And so Love the excitement right there. But Marcus McKenzie, too, as well. That's fun to see the sideline always getting hyped up for their teammates.
And Marcus, who we know is a special teams guy, got some corner time in on the night as well.
Yeah, it was good to see Marcus. He had been a little banged up. Even during fall camp, had a little bit of an injury and got back right near the end. And so I think we'll see a little bit more of him at corner. But, yeah, he's a great special teams player. He was a starter on all of those. And on kickoff, punt return, really didn't have any chance to cover any punts in the game, but yeah, we'll be ready to see what he can do this week if those opportunities come.
SIU's backup QB led a couple of three and outs to end the game. BYU wins it 41-13. Lots to like about this one, I thought, Coach, including the fact that a lot of young defensive players got meaningful reps and made plays in this game for you as well.
Yeah, I think we played over 40 players on defense, something like that, something crazy like that. So, and a lot of that came late in the game. Once they pulled their starter, I think we were comfortable putting some of these other guys that probably wouldn't even have had a chance that weren't initial, you know, second or third string guys. But especially in my group, I was able to play seven defensive ends, which I don't know if I've ever done that before. And all those guys are really good players. And so just it's always good. Practice reps are one thing, but when you get game reps, that changes everything. And so be able to see Vilpuha get in there for three plays. And Ephraim Officiata played early in the game and did some really good stuff in the pass rush. But I think he ended up with 10 or 11 plays on the game and just – he showed up and is a guy that we'll continue to see in the rotation.
You mentioned those two guys, plus Isaiah, Bodie Schoonover, of course, Batty and Latui, and then Orion Maile-Kafuse becomes your seventh, I think.
Yeah,
on that night.
And he came in late in the game and had an opportunity to get a sack and shoot, did the wrong thing. If he just does his job, he has a shot to get the sack right near the end of the game, but it's okay. You live and learn.
Let's get to players of the week. Let's go defensive, first of all. Defensive players of the week, we picked a trio of Cougars on this one. Jacob Robinson, Blake Mangelson, and John Nelson on the defensive side.
Yeah, so like I mentioned earlier, I thought John and Blake did a great job just dominating the front.
The defensive tackles.
Yeah, defensive tackles. And really, Batty was involved in that as well, and so was Logan, and so was Isaiah. Just the production, maybe not as what we wanted to be players of the game, but Jacob for sure, just lockdown corner. I don't know how many balls he had completed on him in that game, but I know that he's going to be a hard guy to throw to. I think quarterbacks are going to want to try to throw to the other side, and so we'll see how many times he gets tested this week. But just those guys played well, and there's a number of other guys that we could have named, but those are three were the guys that stood out.
Okay, Jacob Robinson, Blake Mangelson, John Nelson, defensive players of the week, special teams player of the week for you. Who'd you like?
Yeah, I love Tanner Wall. Tanner is a great leader for us on special teams. He loves it. He's passionate for it. That play he made on the fake. And then he's on our punt team. He's on our punt return team. And a guy that I love having out there because I know he cares and I know that he's going to go out there and make plays like he's doing right here. And so I'm excited to see him do that. And if Will makes his kick, he's probably player of the week, but couldn't give it to a guy that missed a field goal inside the 40-yard line. And Will knows that, and he gets it. I'm excited about the crew of guys that I have on special teams as deep as I've had anywhere I've been coaching. Look forward to seeing us do even better this week in special teams.
All right, when we come back, we'll look ahead to Friday night's short week showdown at SMU. Speaking of which, this Friday, tune in to Cougar Pregame Live on BYU Radio, starting at 5 Eastern, 3 Mountain, as the Cougars meet the Mustangs of SMU. As we go to break, a reminder that dinner after the game at JCW's includes something for everybody, from burgers to wings, shakes to salads. JCW's quality and a lot of it in Lehigh, American Fork, Provo, South Jordan, and Harriman. Coming up next, final segment with BYU Special Teams Coordinator Kelly Papinga. You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Final segment in our first half hour of the show, visiting with BYU Special Teams Coordinator and defensive ends coach Kelly Papinga, and putting the capper on Saturday's 41-13 home win over Southern Illinois. Let's take a look ahead now to game number two for BYU Cougs and SMU Mustangs on Friday night. This preview of BYU at SMU brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics. All right, Mustangs 2-0 after a 59-7 home win over Houston Christian, their FCS opponent on Saturday night. SMU won at Nevada in their opener the previous week, so that's how they get to 2-0. Preston Stone is the starting quarterback, but head coach Rhett Lashley using two signal callers right now. Kevin Jennings also playing, and both guys are producing. That was a high-powered offense last year, and they look like a lot of the same this year so far.
Yeah, they got some great team speed and putting a lot of points up on the board. Obviously, we played them in the bowl game and really running a very similar system, but they'll have some wrinkles, but their quarterbacks, I think, are both very good players. I almost called him Lindell. His brother played for us at Virginia, actually, Preston's brother, a quarterback. So I almost called his brother name.
Stone?
Anyway, Stone, yeah. But he's a dynamic athlete. He can throw it. Man, he can throw it as good as anybody. Really strong arm. And then we got to really respect the run game. And then Seven that comes in as well, probably a little bit more of a runner, but can throw it as well. But they got receivers everywhere. They got a tight end, number 82, that's special. I think he's one of the most talented receivers we'll probably see all year long.
Maryland.
Yep. Their running back runs hard. It's fast. We're going to have our hands full of just making sure we got to be great tacklers. We've got to be able to play the ball down the field. We got to be able to deal with their tempo. They're going to go fast try to get us to, you know, not get our call in, get us misaligned. So we're going to have to do a great job of communicating, getting aligned, and really just doing our job and doing your 1/11th and sure tacklers. So, like, if we're great tacklers in this game, then we're going to be really good. And so, it's a great challenge. I'm excited for our guys.
The running back you're referencing, Breshard Smith, is a Miami transfer. Mm-hmm. He ran for 108 on only 9 carries on Saturday. SMU as a team ran for almost 400 against an overmatched team at home.
Yeah, they like to run the ball. If that's what you are going to give them, they're gonna do that. So you would look at them and say, this is an air raid team that likes to throw the ball. But if you give them the run, they will run the football. And so we got to do a great job of controlling the line of scrimmage like we did a week ago. And, I feel like we did that a pretty good job of that in the bowl game as well a couple years ago. So we got to do a great job of just controlling the line of scrimmage, being able to get pressure on the quarterback in the pass game and in the scramble game. And they're going to have some QB design run stuff that we're going to have to deal with. We know that. We're probably going to have to see that and deal with that until we can prove that we can stop it after last week. And so, great challenge for our guys, and it'll be fun to go down there. I know we have a great fan base down there, mm-hmm. so it'll be fun to play in front of Cougar Nation down there in Dallas.
You bring up the bowl game from a couple of years ago. I think their place kicker in that game is still their place kicker. Colin Rogers is his name. I think he has the second most field goals already in team history. He had 20 field goals last year, career long of 52. In the opener, hit from 51 last season. Yeah. So this is one of the better kickers in the country you're going to see.
Yeah, and he has a leg on him. And so we saw that in the Nevada game. I think they tried 2 over 50 in that game. He made one and he missed one. But, yeah, he's a guy. They're good on special teams. They have a dynamic returner, number 13. Sorry, I don't know the names. I just go by the numbers. But dynamic returner with him. And then their kick returner, too, as well, is a really good one. So it'll be a great challenge for our guys. Their team speed is just like we're going to see in the Big 12. So I think it's a great challenge for our guys to get ourselves ready once we get into this Big 12 play.
They don't have a lot happening in the punt game in terms of length. But, you know, Do you plan for short punts in this game because of what you've seen so far? And Parker showed the other day that you might think a guy uncorked a couple maybe that took Parker off guard.
Yeah, even. Yeah, that was unfortunate. We were getting a bunch of short punts early in the game, and then Southern Illinois' guy really laid into one, and that's why he kind of mishandled that one. But I think, you know, it's all game plan. It's all dependent upon hang time and distance, and so that'll be something that we look at with him. I think he's a Texas transfer, the guy that came from Texas. And so, just any opportunity we can to change the field position, we'll make sure that that's game planned up well and give our offense a chance to score some points.
Back to special teams for a moment. We talked about Will Farron, but the other elements of your game, whether it's Sam Vanderhaar or the snaps, Sam's holds, Parker's work, how do you think overall special teams performed in game one?
Yeah, I thought it was a solid start. I didn't think it was as good as our offense and defense had played. I thought it was a little farther behind than those two phases, but we need ball security with the kick returner. If we catch that kick return where they had to kick from the 20 off of a personal foul, there's a chance that we can score on that one. And so unfortunate that we fumbled that, and then Parker's mishandles as well hurt us in some field position. The one punt ended up being like a 60-yard punt. And, you know, when you have a team that outkicks their covers like that, you got to make them pay. And it's just, unfortunately, we mishandled those two. So that'll be a major emphasis in our meeting that we have today, just making sure great ball security with our punt team, or our punt return team. And then punt, we had a low snap late in the game when we were in a pin situation where we were trying to pin him inside the 10. And, I didn't like that, that low punt. And then we had a high snap as well on a field goal late in the game that wasn't typical of what Dalton usually does. So just a couple things here and there.
Things to clean up.
Yeah, but very pleased. We had no penalties. I love that we had no penalties on special teams. Didn't hurt our team in field position. And I thought our punt return game late in the game, we did a really good job of getting about a 20-yard return right there that helped set up, points potentially. But our offense, I think, was in, you know, run-of-the-clock-out mode and And so, but and I would say we're about a B minus
okay.
is where I'd grade him. But we have a lot of room to improve for sure.
And just to reiterate, your primary returners will be Parker on punt and Keelan Marion on kickoff,
yes.
right?
Yep, that is correct.
Operating with off returners on the kickoff. All right, so, short week challenge. Friday night game, some travel involved. How do things pace for you guys this week when you go to a week like this?
Yeah, so I told my guys yesterday, I said, hey, when you show up to the meetings tomorrow, when you show up to the facility, it is not Monday. Everybody in the world or in the country is celebrating Labor Day. It's actually Tuesday for us, all right? So today is...
You never had a Monday.
Yeah, there was never a Monday. Monday doesn't exist, so it's a Tuesday in our mind. So we show up today, and it's just like it was a Tuesday in a regular week. Tomorrow will be a Wednesday and then a Thursday, and then... We're off, you know, on the plane on what is to the world Thursday, but to us in our world, it's Friday. So everybody's probably listening to me and like, what did he just say right there? I'm so confused. But but in our minds, we know what's going on. But there's a lot more urgency that we have to get. You have one less day to get ready, but I think our guys will be prepared and ready to roll.
You expect heat, you expect humidity, and I know you expect to play your best. We hope that happens on Friday. Great to be with you, Coach.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, that's Coach Kelly Papinga. Tomorrow night, join us for BYU football with Kalani Sitake as the coach and our special guest. Look back at BYU's season opening win over SIU. Watch Tuesdays, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app or ESPN+. Coming up next, offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick joins us as the Coordinator's Corner continues. We're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Coordinator's Corner is presented by JCW's The Burger Boys. Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years. And Smith's, low prices, market fresh.
You are in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. BYU wins its eighth season opener in Kalani Sitake's nine seasons as BYU head coach. 41-13, the season opening win over Southern Illinois Saturday night at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Sold out stadium. This Friday night, BYU visiting 2-0 SMU in the Cougars and the Mustangs' fifth all-time meeting. Half hour number two of our show gets underway. We welcome in BYU's offensive coordinator and QB coach Aaron Roderick. Coach A-Rod, good to see you once again.
Good to see you.
All right, congrats on week one.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a good win.
Last week on this show, we helped preview the SIU game with defensive coordinator Jay Hill. 48 hours before the SIU game, Coach Hill ends up in the hospital dealing with a cardiac issue. Fortunately, a very positive outcome, right, as he was back in the building with all of you on Saturday.
Yeah, and he's back to work today. I can't believe it. But I've been friends with Jay since about 1995, coached with him for a long time up the road and here, and we've been good friends for a long time, so I'm just very relieved that he's doing okay.
Coach Hill's well-being was, of course, paramount, but from a football standpoint, how do you think everyone reacted to make sure BYU had the best chance to succeed on Saturday while you're worrying about him at the same time?
Well, it started with Jay just not making a big deal about it. You know, he didn't want any drama, and but of course it is dramatic, so, you know, but I thought everyone just handled it really well, our whole staff, the defensive staff just manage things, and then on offense we just, you know, stayed just doing our thing, and I think everybody just plowed right through it.
Well, last week at this time, and by the way, best possible outcome for Coach Hill, and it sounds like we're hoping things are more or less back to normal this week. Last week on this show, you still hadn't named a starting quarterback publicly, so today you can tell us how it was that Jake Retzlaff won the starting job.
We just felt like he earned it in practice. You know, we've had the same type of competition before multiple times, and usually if you put in enough reps in practice, it becomes apparent to everybody who's won the job. It's not a situation where we have to make a decision and everybody's waiting on it.
I think
our players, it took a while though, because Gary's a good player, and so both of them were having good days, and I think they both made each other better, and then just eventually it hit a point where everybody felt like, okay, Jake's earned this, and thought he went out and played really well.
To the game, and it could not have started any better. Defense gets a 3-and-out. Offensive scores a TD on the opening drive. And it was a long drive. 13 plays, 65 yards, 2 fourth-down conversions in that opening drive, and those are tone setters too.
They are, yeah. And going for it on fourth down is part of what we do. And it always has been. Last year we weren't as good at it, you know, but in the past 4 or 5 years we've gone for it a lot on fourth down, and so a lot of times on third downs we're playing to get ourselves in position to go for it on fourth down, and that happened several times the other night.
which is why sometimes your raw third down numbers are kind of had to be taken in context because correct. You're setting up a fourth down, perhaps.
Yeah, we think of it in terms of conversion down, not necessarily our third down.
Whether it's third or fourth.
Yeah, so we were 7 for 15 the other night.
But
there were four times that we played to get ourselves in position for the fourth down, and we converted three of them.
So I think your conversion down number ended up at 10 for 19 on the night, I think,
correct.
Is what it turned
so
out
we
to
think
be.
Of it more that way.
Yeah.
Are we staying on the field and moving the chains? The actual third down stat is not as important to us.
Second drive, second score. This one was more than 20 yards longer, but took only four plays and only 1:21 off the clock. Of course, the big play was the scoring play. Jake Retzlaff to JoJo Phillips. This ball was in the air a long time.
It
what
was,
a throw.
Yeah, and this play was very well executed, and it was something we saw in their defense. We thought we could take a shot over the top, and they lined up just how we had hoped, and JoJo can run. I mean, he's a fast guy.
And look at he wings that from his hip almost, yeah. 60 yards in the air.
Yeah, it was 60-plus yards in the air, and you see JoJo's speed on this play. He's long, but he's really fast.
Lots of attention on your top three receivers, but JoJo Phillips is right there pushing for reps. You've liked him for a long time.
I have. JoJo is just an awesome kid, really high character, no drama at all, just comes to work every day, does his job, and just a really humble guy, and love him. Love him so much. He's going to be a future star here.
And maybe current star.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he already is.
Yeah.
I'm saying he's,
right.
He's got a lot of football in front of him. He's got a lot of good football ahead of him, yes.
Yeah. You didn't have Darius Lassiter over an NCAA eligibility waiver, which was granted, but you do get him back this week, right?
We do, and that's big because Darius and Chase have both had a great camp. I mean, all of our receivers have, but I would say Darius has been right up there as, you know, one of our best players in camp.
How is it? I mean, he must have been just antsy,
right? I think he had a good time, you know, watching us throw the ball around and have some success, but he wanted to be on that field.
Leading 14-0 on Saturday, you had your only real scoring lull of the night in the second quarter.
Yeah.
You had a 9-play drive end with a field goal miss, which you wouldn't see coming because Will had been perfect inside 44. You had been going forward on fourth downs, yeah. But I think you thought, let's take some points because he's been so accurate.
Yeah, we were about one yard from going for it on fourth. If we would have made another yard, we would have gone for it. But we have a lot of faith in Will.
So right.
It's not that we don't want Will to kick. It's just, you know, it takes three field goals to beat a touchdown and a PAT. You know, if you're kicking field goals, you've got to drive three times. You know, do that three times to beat one touchdown. So, and sometimes you got to measure what the net worth is of whether to kick that field goal or whether to punt, you know, or go for it on fourth. And so we were close to going for it on fourth there. I thought one huge thing is Will missed that kick, and then he comes back and makes a 50-yarder before the half, which I'm sure you're going to
Yeah, we are going to get to that, yeah, and how big it was. So no points there. Next drive got to a 4th-and-5 in SIU territory. Jake was looking for Chase Roberts. They didn't connect, but it was the only target I think Chase didn't end up catching on the night. He was outstanding on Saturday. Jake ended up throwing a little behind Chase, as I recall.
Chase played almost a perfect game, and that was one play we didn't execute as well.
Did he need to sit?
Between Chase and Cody, there was we were supposed to try to get a little rub to get the ball to Cody.
Okay.
We didn't execute it well enough. It was literally the only mistake Chase made the whole game.
Wasn't he great,
and
though?
Jake could have made a better throw, too. Both of them, they both had a really good game.
But I think it was really the only time you looked for Chase, they didn't end up connecting.
They've got good chemistry.
I think you had fourth downs. They were going to Chase. Thanks to an officiating, I'll call it a blunder, Southern Illinois scores a touchdown on its ensuing possession after that missed field goal. So despite dominating, it's 14-6, so kind of a ball game. That makes the final 40 seconds of the first half so huge for you, right?
Yeah.
You get the ball with 46 seconds to go. You go 43 yards, sets up a 50-yarder from Will. And since you were getting the ball to start the second half, an even bigger sequence, and he knocks down. I thought it was a big momentum shift for you, just getting that field goal.
Yeah, it was a really good job by our offense executing that two-minute drive. And we executed that perfectly. The players just did a nice job managing that situation. And then the last completion that we made right here on the dig to Chase, great throw and catch to get us in position to kick it. And then huge by Will to step up and make that after missing. It's not easy that your next one's a 50-yarder.
Right.
and he knocked it right through.
Ends up being a career long. So BYU took a 17-6 lead at the break. When we come back, some second half highlights as BYU finishes off the Salukis. More with Ace OC Aaron Roderick is coming up. You can get ready for BYU and SMU this Friday with BYU Sports Nation Game Day's expanded coverage 2 hours before kick at 5 Eastern, 3 Mountain on BYU TV. When we come back, the Coordinator's Corner continues. We're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Back with more. Coach Roderick after this. Welcome back to the Coordinator's Corner. BYU OC and QB coach Aaron Roderick with us. The Cougs on a short week this week, visiting SMU this Friday night. BYU season opened with a 41-13 home victory over SIU Southern Illinois. Cougs took control by scoring 17 consecutive points spanning halftime. Before the break, we show the 50-yard field goal that puts you up 17-6. Second half began with the ball, and the second half began like the first half, long drive for a touchdown, and like the scoring drive to open the game, the TD drive to open your second half, had a fourth down conversion in there, and then the big play, a 52-yarder to Keelan Marion.
Yeah, that was an unbelievable catch.
It was. Three white shirts around him.
It was a great throw as well, but he really, the way he tracked this ball and wrapped around the safeties and then even had the referee that he had to avoid, it was a really great catch.
And that's a touchdown drive to open half number two. Big special teams play. And there's the L.J. Martin touchdown catch that caps off the drive. Big special teams play on the ensuing SIU drive. They stop that fake punt. So you got a short field. A PI call sets you up in the red zone. Then you get Mataba Tase, his first BYU touchdown on a really nice throw.
Yeah, I was happy for Tava. He's a guy who's just been a blue-collar, hard worker for us. And he's a very good receiver. We just, a year ago, he just didn't get as involved as we would have liked. And so we've made a point this year to involve him more in the passing game. And so hopefully you'll see more of this.
So if you're with your ones, let's say, in double tight, we're talking about Keanu Hill and Tava Tase, right?
Yeah, we played the other night in 12 personnel with two tight ends. We played in 13 personnel with three tight ends. And we even had one snap of 14 personnel where there were four tight ends in the game.
And you've got a lot of them.
You'll see more of that this season in all those groupings.
Another short field after a short SIU punt set you up first and 10 from the SIU 37 to open the fourth quarter. Short drive was all L.J. Martin, and he ended up finishing it off with a touchdown run.
Yeah, it was great to have L.J. He on the field. He does so many good things for us. He's just a really versatile guy, very smart player, and we got to get him the ball more.
LJ was kind of eased back into camp with the objective of having him ready to go in game one, and he was ready to go in game one. He led your team in carries and in rushing yards.
Yeah, one thing to clarify, though, is he practiced from practice one. He never missed one practice in fall camp. We were just careful with his contact. He practiced in every day. We were just smart about how much contact he did.
BYU attack on a field goal after that LJ touchdown in the fourth quarter, so win it 41-13. I thought for a season opener, Coach, really clean, really efficient win.
It was. I was pleased. There's always things we can do better, but zero turnovers starts there. That's huge. And then if you have no turnovers and you score 41 points, and there's a really good chance you're going to win the game. And so those are the two most important stats in football is the score and the turnover, mm-hmm. Turnover battle. But we did a lot of other good things. 179 yards rushing was good. And I was pleased just, I think, again, there's areas we can improve there, but that was a good start. And then thought we threw the ball well.
Going back over your last three seasons plus, almost half your games have been turnover free. And if you're just that, if you're just turnover free, since Kalani's been the head coach, 30-4 is your record if you just don't give the ball away.
Yeah, we take a lot of pride in taking care of the football, and our offense is built that way to take care of the ball as well. Like scheme-wise, we put a high premium on possessing the football, and we'll continue to work at it.
First career victory for Jake Retzlaff as starting quarterback. Kind of like in baseball, wins go to starting pitchers. Sometimes wins go to starting quarterbacks. Career highs in completion percentage, passing yards, touchdowns, pass efficiency. He showed why he's your starter.
Yeah, he played a really good game. And he's been doing that in practice, since spring ball. And so I wasn't surprised. I don't think anybody was. That's what we've been seeing every single day. And I think, we're just going to see him keep improving.
And can make plays with his legs when he needs to. That's part of his game, too.
He's a good runner. He's a good athlete, and we'll use him in the run game when we need to. you know, here and there, just like we used to do with Zach and Jaren. And we'll be smart about when we do that, but we're going to make teams have to honor that as well.
You selected Jake as one of your two offensive players of the week for the SIU game. Who was the other?
Well, I thought Chase had a great game as well. I mean, he graded very high and made some really, really critical plays. Those contested catches are, you know, those are huge. And anybody can make the play when they're wide open, but he made some really tough catches with people draped on his back, and just super proud of him. He played like a team captain.
He's had a 100-yard receiving game in 2022, 100-yard receiving game in 2023, and now he gets one here in 2024. But I told him Saturday, feel free to get more than one 100-yard game. Go for a few this year.
Yeah, I would expect him to have a few more this year.
Well, he was excellent. Those are your co-offensive players of the week, Jake Retzloff and Chase Roberts. Time again for a break, and as we step away, we remind you that your Cougar Sports day-to-day play-by-play is on BYU Sports Nation with Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan, weekdays at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Coming up in our final segment of this week's show, a preview of a short week showdown with SMU. The Coordinator's Corner is brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Back with Coach Aaron Roderick right after this. You are in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Closing segment with BYU Offensive Coordinator and QB Coach Aaron Roderick today. A couple of personnel notes. Let's remind folks, wide receiver Darius Lassiter is back Friday at SMU. And you said he looked good in camp, right?
Yeah, he had a great camp, and we're excited to have him back. He's a good player.
Sonny Maccasini.
Yeah.
Kind of an under-the-radar name for some people, but he got his first career start for you against Southern Illinois. How did he and the entire offensive line maybe look or grade out to you?
He played well, and he's had a great camp, and he's actually probably our backup center as well right now. In fact, he played some snaps at center at the end. But I thought our offensive line did a good job. You know, we're still things we can do better, but Caleb Etienne had his best game of his time at BYU.
That could be an important story for you this year, right?
The best game of his season last year was the Oklahoma State game. So he's back-to-back played his two best games since he's been here. I thought the whole line did a really solid job.
Looking ahead to SMU now, a lot of two linebacker stuff, some 4-2-5 you could say is their base. Coordinator Scott Simons, you faced that defense in the 2022 New Mexico Bowl, but they made a big jump from 22 to 23. So better than they were when you saw them the first time around.
Yeah, they were very good on defense last year. Someone told me they were the only team in the country that was top 15 in total offense and total defense last year. I think that's correct. But they were very good on defense last year, and they're off to a good start this year as well. They have good personnel, very athletic, physical, good tacklers. They fly around. It's going to be a big challenge.
How much of that New Mexico Bowl defensive scheme from 2022 are you still seeing now?
Well, we were such a different team then.
Yeah, true enough.
We were playing that game with Soljay at quarterback. We were, you know, that was a run-heavy game plan to just try to find a way to win with a depleted team.
They wouldn't be giving you the same looks necessarily.
It's probably not the same, but we've got, you know, we have last year's film, and then they have two games this year to look at as well, so... they're very good, though.
They had 47 sacks last season. Yeah. Already 4 sacks, 15 TFLs in the first two games of this season. So they have something they want to get done there,
yes,
don't they?
Yes, they can rush the passer, and they're very athletic all across the board. So they can play man coverage. They can play a variety of zone coverages, and they can bring pressure, or they can just get after you with a four-man rush. They're a very good team.
We have 45 seconds left. You're taking the team on the road for the first time this season, but I'd be remiss if I didn't give you at least a few seconds, maybe 20 seconds, to talk about how great that home crowd was on Saturday night.
Yeah, they were, and we really appreciate our fans. It's such a joy to play at home. I know Coach Gilbride and Coach Woods both really enjoyed
it. The new guys.
Yeah, they both commented before the game how excited they were to experience it, and then I know they and their families loved it, and just so we really appreciate all of our fans.
It's a great night. Coach Roderick, great to have you back with us. Have a great week and good luck on Friday night.
Thanks.
All right. That'll do it for week two of the Coordinator's Corner. For coaches Papinga and Roderick and our entire crew, my name is Greg Grubel. Thanking you for tuning in. BYU and SMU Friday night at 5 o'clock Mountain, 6 o'clock in Dallas on ESPN2 and BYU Radio. Have a great week and go Cougs!